The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee will lay off dozens of tenured faculty. It's part of a national trend. It's Monday, August 26. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, some cities are saying no to voter drop boxes. The town of Lac des Flambeaux wants help in a dispute with tribal officials over road access. And from Milwaukee historian John Gerda, a story about a Milwaukee priest's role in the civil rights movement. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Last week, Regents voted to lay off more than 30 tenured faculty members at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. As Sarah Lear reports, across the nation, it's somewhat unusual but not unheard of for tenured faculty to be let go.
Nearly a decade ago, Republican Governor Scott Walker stripped tenure protections from state law. Shortly after, UW-Regents adopted a policy specifying that tenured professors could be fired if their program is eliminated. Regents cited that policy last week in approving the layoffs. Tim Kaine is a University of Georgia professor who researches higher education. He says that while tenure is intended to protect faculty who pursue controversial research,
there is a concerted attack on tenure coming out of conservative think tanks, coming out of some states, coming out of the Republican Party.
Chancellor Mark Mone said the layoffs coincide with the elimination of UW-Milwaukee's College of General Studies because of financial challenges. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Two Waukesha County communities will not allow residents to use their absentee ballot drop boxes this fall. That's after the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in July that ballot drop boxes could be used across the state. The ruling also said that didn't mean clerks had to use them. Following that ruling, the Wisconsin Elections Commission issued guidance for clerks on how to secure their drop boxes. That includes keeping them affixed to the ground and in a well-lit area. But the Brookfield Common Council voted last week not to use them. Mayor Steve Ponto says he supports the decision.
I'm confident that anyone who wants to and is entitled to vote in Brookfield will have plenty of opportunity to get their ballot in.
New Berlin also took a similar step last month. The city's mayor said he supported that decision. Town of Lac des Flambeaux leaders and lawmakers debated ways to resolve a standoff that's dragged on for more than a year over access to roads on the Lac des Flambeaux reservation. Danielle Kading reports it's unclear what happens next.
The tribe blocked four roads crossing tribal lands in January last year. Easements on them expired a decade ago, and negotiations over access payments failed. The tribe is asking for nearly $10 million in damages for trespassing. Since roads reopened in March last year, the town has been paying a monthly fee to maintain access. Town Board Chair Matt Galke says the town doesn't have the resources to resolve the dispute, but the state and federal government do.
And I hope that they step in to help us out with that.
Federal lawmakers say they're willing to aid with a resolution, including Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany. But he says any deal has to be reasonable for all parties involved and taxpayers. GOP State Senator Mary Felskowski says it's unlikely state lawmakers would provide funding to resolve the dispute. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Volunteers who count monarch butterflies say their numbers are down this summer in Wisconsin. This comes after the generation that overwinters in Mexico clocked in at the second lowest on record. That could mean fewer arrived in Wisconsin this spring. Wendy Caldwell is the executive director of the nonprofit that helps run the counts nationally. She says some researchers speculate that the upper Midwest's cool and wet summer contributed to the decrease in butterflies.
Did it just delay the migration for a little bit? And we're actually going to see a lot more monarchs in this later fall. There's so many unknowns.
Caldwell says researchers will have a better sense of how the whole monarch population is doing when the butterflies migrate to Mexico once again this winter. Former President Donald Trump will be back in Wisconsin this week. The Trump campaign announced a town hall event for Thursday evening in La Crosse. It's his first appearance in Wisconsin since July, when he accepted the presidential nomination at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. The campaign said the event's theme will be, quote, kitchen table issues and making America affordable again. In a statement, the Harris campaign said voters should ask Trump why he is, quote, trying to make life harder and more expensive with proposed tariffs and other policies. Coming up from Wisconsin Life, the story of a Milwaukee priest who fought for justice. That's coming up right after this break.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
What people see is the prices they're paying, right, or the level of credit card debt they have, and so
on. But there's also a practical need to move toward a carbon neutrality, especially on the in the Lake Superior in the North Country.
And if you come together and deal with the issues, you have a greater amount of collective strength.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brett Kohlberg with the story of a Milwaukee priest who was an influential figure during the civil rights movement of the late 1960s.
Father James Groppi was a prominent activist in Milwaukee during the civil rights movement. One particular summer night in 1966, when Milwaukee writer and historian John Goethe was just 19, he joined a march with Father Groppi and the NAACP Youth Council, and it left a lasting impression.
He was a most unlikely civil rights leader. Father James Groppi was an immigrant son, the 11th of 12 children, who grew up behind the family's grocery store in the Italian section of Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood. Early in his priesthood, Groppi made a trip to Selma, Alabama, that stirred his conscience. The young cleric came back determined to join the struggle for racial justice in his hometown. I marched with Father Groppi near the start of his eventful career as an activist. As the advisor to the NAACP Youth Council, Groppi condemned the whites-only membership policy of the Eagles Club. The fraternal group's roster included what might have been a quorum of Milwaukee County judges. How, Groppi asked, could a magistrate sit in judgment of black Milwaukeeans when he belonged to an organization that had already judged them inferior? The Youth Council targeted one of the club's most prominent jurists, Robert Cannon. For 11 straight nights in the summer of 1966, they picketed his home in a leafy section of suburban Wauwatosa. The marches were quiet at first, but within a week, fanned by nonstop media attention, the number of spectators grew to 4,000, many of them openly, even rabidly hostile. I had turned 19 earlier that summer. I don't recall what drew me to the scene, budding sympathy or just idle curiosity, but I found myself on the west side near the line of march one warm August evening. As the picketers approached, I thought, well, you can watch or you can march. Seconds later, I was one of the relatively few white people in a group of perhaps 200 headed to Wauwatosa. The mood was light at first, almost festive, but the atmosphere changed radically after we crossed the city line at Holly Road. By the time our group reached Cannon's home, we were in the eye of a storm, separated from a mob of jeering, taunting spectators by a cordon of police officers and National Guard troops. After we had marched back and forth for perhaps an hour, Father Groppi said a few words and we headed back to town. It is at this point that my memories become indelible. One of the organizers, thinking no doubt of the symbolism, put me and a black teenager at the head of the line, carrying an American flag between us. We marched directly behind a wedge of National Guardsmen in full battle dress, with their rifles at the ready and bayonets fixed. The scene was surreal, almost dreamlike, and verging on nightmarish. As we headed east on Wisconsin Avenue, a crowd of young white men shadowed us from the sidewalk like running dogs. Some of their taunts were directed at me personally. N-word lover was the most common, but I also heard, "Do you want your sister to marry one?" Never before had I felt so angry, so scared, and so exhilarated all at the same time. Both the goons and the guardsmen were gone by the time we crossed the Wisconsin Avenue viaduct. Our ragtag group of demonstrators made it all the way back to the Freedom House on North Fifth Street, where the mood, after the evening's adrenaline had worn off, was decidedly quiet. Father Groppi himself seemed just plain tired, but I recall being impressed by his obvious physical courage as well as his moral stamina. A youth council member gave me a ride to my car, and I was soon back in the suburban safety of Hales Corners, where it seemed, that night at least, as if nothing had happened since the beginning of time.
And when I look back on it, I think that Grob was the one who kept the lid on it. That's the reason Milwaukee didn't burn. He provided young minority people with an opportunity in a constructive manner to vent those frustrations and to say to the system the kinds of things that they wanted to say in a constructive manner. Had he not been there, Milwaukee would have probably burned. You've got a friend.
John Gerda is a Milwaukee-born writer and historian who's been studying his hometown for over 50 years. The archival audio you heard is of NAACP organizer Prentice McKinney from the 1981 documentary film Decade of Discontent. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that's today's podcast for this Monday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. We'll be back again tomorrow with the latest news about Wisconsin and the world. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. Take care.